proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you Heart Sayings from the Bible. Some Bible commentators do not accept a literal interpretation of the first three chapters in the book of Genesis. Such might argue that Adam, a man made from the dust of the ground, and Eve, a woman created from one of Adam's ribs, that Adam and Eve did not actually exist as separate individuals. Furthermore, such commentators might contend, the idea of an actual Garden of Eden or a talking serpent stretches the limits of credulity. Should Bible believers regard the initial chapters of Genesis as an extended allegory or myth, or should they regard it as literal history? Paul considered Adam to have been a living being. He mentioned Adam and his sin in Romans chapter 5, noting that, quote, "Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come," unquote. According to the second chapter of 1 Timothy, moreover, Paul declared that, quote, "Adam was first formed, then Eve," unquote. If the events in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 did not really occur, Paul had no solid grounds for making the above statements, particularly the latter one. Paul also accepted the order and the nature of Adam's creation, as described in Genesis chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for instance, the apostle remarked that, quote, "The man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man," unquote. In this passage, he alluded back to the events described in the second chapter of Genesis. If the apostle's allusions did not really take place historically in the second chapter of Genesis, then Paul's arguments about the woman coming from the man and not vice versa make absolutely no sense. The genealogies contained in the Bible treated Adam as an actual historical figure. The opening chapter of 1 Chronicles mentioned Adam as the progenitor of Sheth, another individual. Likewise, the account of Jesus Christ's ancestry found in the third chapter of Luke alluded to Adam. Jude referred to Enoch as, quote, "the seventh from Adam," unquote. Moreover, a number of Bible characters based the doctrines they taught on the historicity of the first three chapters of Genesis. Consider, for example, the topic of marriage. In Matthew chapter 19, a group of Pharisees asked Jesus Christ about the legality of divorce. The Savior replied by citing a passage contained in the second chapter of Genesis. He said, quote, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh," unquote. If the Lord did not accept the factual account of marriage found in the second chapter of Genesis, he had no basis for referring to marriage as a divinely ordained institution. What can we conclude here? If the first three chapters of Genesis did not actually take place historically, Jesus Christ and Paul either misled their audiences or deceived themselves about the historicity of that matter. In either case, both men would have undercut their own arguments by citing as history events which never actually took place. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you Hard Sayings from the Bible.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.